Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 181. This is part two, God Sees. Today is Sunday, January 9th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from sunny, snowy, and spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. At Pastor Paul's blog, you can leave a comment, you can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. Better yet, you can call the comment line, 1-877-489-0922, and that local number is 612-208-0916. So call the comment line, leave a comment, or give us a testimony. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. In the month of January, these are the following messages: God Sees, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith, Fair Weather or Storm Faith Part 2, Zealous with His Righteousness or Our Own. Be sure to join us for both parts, Part 1 on Friday, Part 2 on Sunday. Have a great month of January, Happy New Year, and God bless you.
See, you shall see God everywhere that are looking for Him. You see God in the hobo? Is God in the hobo? Yeah. Is God in the president? Yeah, he's the author and finisher of everything. If you can't see Him around, you then look within yourself. Look within yourself. Every heartbeat, every blood flow, every pulse. If you could look within yourself, what a miracle! What a miracle the human body is. My God, put it to use, oh Lord. Mighty works are happening in this mortal fabric. I mean, the garment of the soul. It amazes you. Make you see God is not asleep, but that He is active, that He is busy. God is working mightily everywhere. God has His eye on you all the time. A God with His hands at work everywhere. A God doing something. We got a doing God. Doesn't conviction come when you know God is all over the place? Knowing He is everywhere, knowing all our actions and all our deeds. But anyway, God, you may be sure, sees us. And remember, here's another thing that really I got into today. I was thinking about it. God sees a thing before it happens. It says the Lord goes before you. He sees the thing before it happens. Oh, God,
I can't take no more. Lord, I can't take no more.
I've gone before you. You ever said that? I can't take no more? I mean, he said,
I can't take no more, God. This is it. I can't take no more.
Yes, you can. There's more fun to be had. Say amen, somebody. Oh, there is. There's more fun to be had. See, a lot of people miss the victory because they do not open the door to the victory. They stay on this side, defeat side. Open up the door and walk in. You know why? Your next trial is waiting for you on the other side. See, that's what keeps you going, your trials. Now, you learned something the other day. I took the brother out and I took him into down over here to the vegetable stands. Okay? Now, what they had been doing, and I didn't know this, they would go down and they'd go into this huge store there, and they had like six different markets within this huge market. And they'd walk into the first guy, any vegetables? No, no vegetables. And they walk out. There's six stores. And they go back about a quarter of a block, and it's almost a block long. And one guy says, no, and they believe him. I says, Wayne, let me show you something. You go to the six stores, or you go to each one, and you find out who the boss is. Are you the boss? Yes, I'm the boss. I'm from Disciples Ministry Church Mission. I come looking for whatever. If there's anything that you're going to throw out or something that you aren't going to be using, we'd like to have it. So we go to the next guy. Next guy, nothing. Next guy said, everybody's coming after stuff. The whole world is on relief. And I looked at him, and Wayne looked at him. I said, Wayne, no, don't let that bother you. Now see, Wayne, get up. Come down from there. Come out from under there. Come back. No. It shocked you, though, didn't it? It didn't bother me, did it? You know why? Because I know this guy is going to have some stuff that he's going to have to unload someday, and he's going to be all sitting out there, and he has to cost so much a ton to unload this stuff, to take the dumpster and take it out. See? So then he's going to work a world trick on you and say, see, I have all these onions, and they're all, did you see those onions? Perfect. This big around? You know what I mean? I'm talking about garden fresh onions. And he'll say, can you take these away and say, well, he certainly will, and we want to thank you for them. Okay, so that you went back to that guy today, didn't you? You went to the next guy? No, I went upstairs and talked to the guy. Do you mind if I come and ask you every day? And what'd he say? He says, no. No, I want you to come in and ask me every day. Okay, so now you're starting to build a little confidence. Go down to the next place, and you're going in the name of Jesus, by the way, you know what I mean? Okay. You got to learn that, you know, you got to ask and you receive. Okay? So we go to the next place. The guy didn't have anything. The last place he went to, the guy says, well, I really don't have anything. It's like it was yesterday. Wait a minute, he says. I got some bell peppers. Did you see those things? I mean, I'm talking beautiful. Let me get excited over bell peppers. I mean, okay, I mean, this is what I'm into. Okay? Bell peppers. Big green bell peppers. And some red ones too. But mostly all green ones, right? Large, juicy, nice bell peppers for people. Now, don't you have to pay for a bell pepper in the store? I get excited about that, don't you? Why? That's your ministry. You're running the race of picking up this fruit. You just go to the first guy and say, got any vegetables? No. Oh, okay. Huh? No. Today you went out, you filled up your truck. Did that get you excited? Didn't it? See, he beholds an event before it happens. He knew this guy was going to come out. Ah! Everybody's on relief. Everybody's on welfare. Get out! Huh? And he's going to see how you run the race. Oh, yeah. Yeah, stingy. Whatever, huh? No, go on, because that guy's going to be given to you sooner or later. God will cause him to give. Say amen. God will soften his heart out. He had to watch us carry these beautiful bell peppers down there on this two-wheeler. Huh? Listen to me now. He beholds everything before it happens. Surely then doesn't reason dictate to us? He must see a thing that is happening now. He knows what's happening right now inside of you. You're listening on the radio. He knows what's happening inside of you right now. What's happening inside of you right now? God knows. God knows. God knows. God knew about Babylon before it happened. Nineveh before it happened. Edom's doom before it happened. That Tyre and Sidon would become desolate. That Babylon would be cast to the ground. Don't we serve a God of knowledge? Can he not see things that are to come? He knows. Doesn't God know about tomorrow? Doesn't God know about next week? And doesn't God know about... That's why you have to trust him. He knows. See, the race is fixed. It ain't going to do no good if you don't get in it. You're running a fixed race. You run the race to win, you just stay on the track. I don't care if you do have pronated ankles and bowed legs. You still win. That's just like when I had the race for all these kids down there. And people thought I was nuts. But I knew it was the Spirit of God. I was watching, and these people were watching me from the sidelines, you know. And, you know, and then these kids, and I said, okay. Three-year-olds, two-year-olds, a two-year-old's kid. And they ran up the hill. And they come down. I won! I said, yeah, you all won. And they get excited. To them, they really won. How do you tell your two-year-old they didn't run? And the kid there, and then I got up to the five-year-olds, and there was a kid there, it was a six-year-old, he's looking at me, I didn't get a feather. I didn't get a feather. I won the race. I seen him. He fell down in the middle of the race.
I didn't get a feather. I really wanted a feather. I didn't get a feather.
You ran the race? Yeah, well then you won. Here's your feather. He's all smiles.
See, it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, you don't see things like the world sees things. See things like God sees things.
How many are hearing this?
And God knew, I was going to run the race that way. Totally unprepared.
And then we had this egg thing. You know what I mean? Run the race. And this girl had the spoon in her mouth with the egg. Now, I saw her. She grabbed a hold of the spoon on the egg with her hand holding on to the egg and the spoon and ran up the hill. And ran back down. Of course, she beat everybody. I wasn't going to get into a big thing. You cheated. You did. I saw you were holding on to that egg. You were holding on to that egg and the spoon, and you ran up and you ran back. You know why? Because it was only a little feather I was giving her anyway. God deals with the people. She got this feather falsely, got a false feather falsely. Well, then God had to deal with it, all right? I wasn't going to do it. Wasn't that important to me? Say amen, somebody. The rest of people dealt with her. You held on to the egg! See, we're so worried about how we look. Oh, how unorganized. Oh, people organize things to death. Do you know you can over-talk yourself? You can talk things dead. Say, have you ever been around somebody that talks something dead? And the people are dying. Oh, God, we understand. Really, we do. Please, I'll do anything. Just stop talking. My God, you talked me out of it. Have you ever seen somebody like that? I used to do that. I quit it. Same as somebody. Keep it short and sweet and to the point and go on. That's like, I had a guy go up here. The whole plaster all fell down upstairs. Did you know that? And, yeah, okay. and it all fell down up there. So I thought, now, I could stand here and explain to this guy exactly how to go about this. Or I can go up there and I can say, clean up this mess. Well, I wasn't about to tell this guy because he wasn't going to understand. Anyway, I mean, I could tell him, now take each piece, put it in the bucket, then you got to dust, then you got to redust, and then you got to dust on top, and all the dust falls down, then you dust this, then you dust that, and you dust it down, and that's the way you do it. That is the school of dustology, and you must always dust from the top down, and go through all this thing. I just went up and I said, I had a lot to do. I said, clean this mess up. Of course, he didn't do it. I mean, he just did a half a job, okay? But I could have wore myself out, and I could have went up there and said, didn't I tell you to clean? Now, to him, he had cleaned it up. I mean, there were pieces of plaster up behind the railings this big. But now, in his particular race, in the running of this race, this is the best he could do. He went up there and said, yeah, I cleaned it up. Big barrel of cement there, dust on all three floors, rocked on there, but he had run the race. See, he had to get credit for running the race. So I said, well, he did pretty good. So then I sent another guy up there. I says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick all these pieces out of here, and I want you to double dust, and I want you to dust the top of this thing down here. And I felt myself getting into too much explanation. Did you notice that? I felt myself, now this guy was only carrying clean this thing up. See, he was this, most people are sleeping anyway. I mean, you know, don't go on too much. And I found myself carrying on with this thing, and this guy was standing there wanting to get in the race. He was ready to go, and he had his trek. But pretty soon, you know, if you keep talking, they say, oh, God, when am I going to start running? And they sit down, and they fall over, and they don't get in the race. So you got to know when to quit. You know what I mean? When you're counseling somebody, you got to know when to lay off, okay? You know what I mean? When you're babying somebody up, and, oh, I just use you, Marty. Oh, poor Marty. Marty, let's see. Let's see, Marty, now you have a problem, right? Okay, let's see. You say you have a problem with your boss or something like that. You have a problem, or you have a problem with your mother or something like that. No, Marty, according to the word, and I go on and on and on and on and on, instead of saying, well, why don't you just forgive your mom? And if you can't get along with her, or your dad or whatever, or your uncle or your cousin or whatever, well, then stay away from them for a while until you grow enough so you can get along with them. You know what I mean? And that's it. Goodbye. Instead of going on and on and on, well, Marty, after an hour, now, Marty, what have you learned tonight? And Marty is saying, I have learned that I'm so tired, I want to get out of here. I just want to run away. Now, if you would just told me to go over there and just, you know, keep it simple, stupid, okay? You know, otherwise you start playing with your mind. Run the race. But see, we're worried about how we look in our counseling, so we have to get real counsel-y. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't get into that. I just say, get up and get busy. That's my counsel to you. You want more? I don't get no more. That's it. Get up and get busy. That's all people need, is to get up and to get busy. Now, you've been coming down working. Doesn't it make you feel better? I mean, not that you felt terrible, but doesn't it make you feel better? Doesn't it? Doesn't it, honey? Well, why does it make you feel better? Because you're not at home. You're not thinking about this, you're not thinking about that, you don't have time. You're thinking about getting ready to come down here, and then you get into a character like me, and okay, go over here, go do this, go do that, go, oops, get up, go over there, oh, hey, whoop, go over here, over there, prodding. And that's basically what we need, right? We need to get busy and run the race. Because you know who's watching? God's watching. God sees. Don't worry about all these other people. Say amen, somebody. Woo! You know, if God, if all the angels in heaven would die, and every human being would die, guess who God would be seeing? He'd be seeing you. I mean, if you're the only one left here. And he'd be looking right at you. But listen, no matter if this whole place is full and God is watching the whole world and every sparrow, for his eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. Well, how can his eye be on the sparrow that's flying all over and his eye be on you? Well, it can. And to the hypocrites that are out there, to the slanderers, to the people that are into all kinds of things, God is watching you too. Do you think God is only watching the person that you're giving a hard time? God! God! Over here. Look. See that? Yeah? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And their tongues are wagging just like Jesus is on the cross. And their lip is blurping out. Do you? He's watching them too. See, his eye covers everything. See, so many times we think God isn't seeing it. He sees everything all the time, every time, on time. Everything. Now, don't get too self-conscious over that and, you know, start folding your socks at night and putting them in your shoes. Because God's watching you. Okay? I mean, you know, sometimes you can give messages like this and they get weird. And I'm not saying that. See, because you have to recognize that you are part of God also. That God is in you, and 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 He's around you, above you, between you, betwixt you, all around you. I mean, God is everywhere, 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 everywhere. And the flowers got God in it, and the trees got God in it, and God is everywhere, omnipresent. He fills the universe. He's all over. And He sees you while He's looking at a sparrow. No, He sees everything. Don't be concerned about what man sees. Because God sees it all. And God sees the man that sees in you. Okay? Doesn't that comfort you? Huh? Oh, that comforts me. I remember some bullies were beating on me one time and my mother happened to be watching. And in her quiet little voice, she opened the curtains and she says, "Get out of here!" Boy, I felt powerful. Them kids were running down the road as fast as they could go. Huh? Well, that's how God sees you. He's peeking through the windows of heaven. He sees the whole thing. I am so glad that God is watching me, 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 while He's watching you, you, you. Aren't you? He has every object, has God's attention all the time, and He sees you entirely. He doesn't merely note your actions. He does not simply notice your countenance. He doesn't notice just merely your posture. He sees what you are thinking. He looks, the Bible says, within. God has a window into every man's heart. And He looks within that heart. He knows what you're thinking about right now. He can read you. You know God can read you? No, don't flip out on this. See, because God made you. All right? Sometimes people get paranoid. God is watching. Watching. Where can I hide? I mean, where can I go? No place. Settle that in your mind right now. You cannot get away from God. He's in you, above you, on either side of you, down below you, He's all around you. And He understands you. He made you. He made you with desires. He made you with motives. He made you with a heartbeat. He made you to be loving. He made you to be caring. He made you to be compassionate. He gave you a form of hate. He gave you a form of anger. He gave you a form of love. He gave you all. There's a time for this and a time for that and a time for this. I mean, you know, you're made in God's image, all right? Accept yourself. Accept yourself. God accepts you. Are you hearing this tonight? How many are hearing this message? Okay, now I had a person call me the other day and says, "Now, do you think God really hears me when I pray?" Well, I says, "I know He sees you. Bible says He sees you. Why can't He hear you?" When you get down and you pray, do your prayers always get answered? No. No. I remember my parents didn't answer me when I asked for something I shouldn't have. My mother just wouldn't answer. My dad wouldn't answer. Does God always hear your prayers? No. Don't you turn a deaf ear to nonsense sometimes? You know, you're around somebody that's full of baloney? You don't hear them. I mean, there's so much baloney going up, God doesn't hear it. You ever hear that song, Daddy? I want a diamond ring, a fur coat and everything. Oh, Daddy, I want the very best for me. Huh? Those are unheard of prayers when people are starving all over the place. These really are unheard prayers. Maybe the devil hears them. God. Do you hear that? I've never heard those messages. I can't see them. I mean, I can't see it, and I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear them. Do you want to hear them? No, I mean, you give your life. That means you give your all. That means you give everything to God, because God is watching. You know what I mean? And you're carrying all these goodies around with you. More! By faith, I claim more, huh? How weird we have become. God is watching. People are starving all over, and we're in great big claim things. I claim in the name. I go into the throne rooms of God boldly. Well, you do? I mean, there you are. What a sickening sight, by the way. Walking in there with this great big duffel bag that's four times your size with all of these things that you've claimed, trying to get in the narrow gate, trying to get through that narrow gate with all this garbage to get into boldly into the throne room. God, I'm coming boldly before you, and according to your word, you said in the Psalms, and you said in Matthew, and you said, and I claim it, and I hold you to your promise. Now, doesn't that sound kind of... Wouldn't you get mad if your kid did that to you? Huh? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say, go to your room? And there's your brother and sister over there suffering. You got your great big duffel bag that you tried to carry in through the narrow gate, parked outside, asking for more. God sees. God sees. Maybe you're out there on the radio and you're saying, well, nobody knows the trouble that I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Well, now we do. Now nobody knows like the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Yeah, he does. God's regarding you. His eye is on you. His hand is ready to serve you. Don't give up in despair. You know what despair is? It's when you sit down. Oh, you've already went through depression. I mean, you're past depression. Now you're in the next level. You're in despair. Oh, I'm in despair now. Now you're in another room. This is a deeper pit that you lower yourself into. Huh? It's sort of a, I don't know what it is. You know, when we're into depression, it seems like we like to go down. Now here we are. We were up there. And now we're down here, and we go into levels of depression. And then here down below here is despair. And I wonder, well, it's really bad, but I wonder what it'd be down there. Well, only one way to find out. And we keep going down. And now you're in despair. I mean, you're in such despair, there's no way out. You're perplexed, bothered, and bewildered. It reminds me of a song I once sang. But I mean, there you are. Why? Because you got your eyes on yourself. I mean, go back up out of there. Crawl back up out of that thing. Get busy. God's watching. Get in the race. Say amen, somebody. Some of you out there are so full of cares, so full of fears, so full of anxiety, so full. I mean, people all over the place. Why? They don't know that God sees. They don't know that God sees their need. They don't know that He's on the battlefield of life. How many know this life is a battle? How many know just this life is a battle? The battle of the shopping carts when you go to the market. The battle of the parking ramp when you go to the very, 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 very top. And then come all the way down to about the middle floor and find a parking place. The battle of making it to work. Honk, honk, beep, beep, huh? The battle of going in and punching in. The battle of putting up with a sour-faced boss. Life is a battle. Life is a race. How are you running it? Now we don't have no vegetables. Everybody's on welfare. Everybody, the whole world's after vegetables. I ain't going to give you no vegetables. No, 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 no. Get out. Huh? Well, you just lay down there and just die? Okay, God, I could take a hint. No veggies. Pastor Paul, you know, I went up there and the guy told me to get out and he went, shut up. Get up and go ask him again. Did you go back there again today? Good for you. Keep going back. See, when you're on the race, you go around. Whatever goes around, comes around, right? Keep a going. Keep a going. Yeah, we're almost broke. Keep a going. Keep a going. A guy asked me, he says, do you ever get in a hole in your ministry? I says, I've been $30,000 in a hole ever since I started the mission. Well, he says, how do you keep from going down? I says, I'm running the rim. He says, don't you ever stop? I says, no, if I stop running the rim, I'll fall in. Got to keep running. Now, don't get fearful, $30,000. We've been worse than that even, but average $30,000. That's not bad. Want to take a collection up? Let me close this message. I'm going to give a word to the ministers right now that are being slandered. And they're all getting their fair share of it. Some of you have taken a larger share than others. And I believe that some of you could sell shares in your slander, you'd be rich enough to buy a million friends, but who needs that kind of friend? You know what? Slander is so marketable. I told a person that. I said, well, what makes it marketable? Oh, because people make a market for it. Suppose, minister, you are slandered. Here's your comfort. God seeth me. And maybe, preacher, they say, such and such is your motive. Don't even answer them. You can say this. You can say, God knows all about it. You can be charged when you're innocent. Doesn't matter. If your heart is clean of that deed, what does it matter? You never did it. Don't argue. Don't, oh, above all things, battle for your reputation. So many times we apologize for our life and for our reputation and for all this. Stop apologizing. God sees the whole thing. He saw the whole thing before it happened. And you got to be like this, preacher. Don't argue. But point up to heaven and say, hey, there is a witness there. Who will aright me at last? There is a judge of all earth whose decision I will wait for. And praise God, I'll come out of this furnace like gold, seven times purified. Maybe people have said in your lifetime, your motives are rotten. When you know that you've had good motives, pay no attention. I'm reminded of David's brother. Then they said, well, it is your pride and your haughtiness and naughtiness of heart. And you came to see us in battle. with your little peach fuzz hanging off your face and your little knobby knees. He paid no attention. He walked right up to fight Goliath. You know what he brought back? He brought back the devil's head. He paid no attention to David. What's your motive? Did you come down here for PR? No, he simply did the job. And that's what we have to do down here on the north side, is simply do the job. And don't pay attention to what people see. Say amen. Guy asked me one time, he says, now it seems to me there's a lot of news media in this. I said, sir, Jesus sent runners ahead to tell of his coming because there has to be the spirit of expectation. And they would go and they'd say, Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming! And they'd pull out their mats and they'd pull out their lame people and they'd pull out their blind people and they'd pull all these people out and all the skeptics and all the gossips and all these people would come and see. And one such blind man was sitting on the road that couldn't see, but God could see that he couldn't see. But the Pharisees couldn't see that he couldn't see. They had another reason. Well, his parents sinned before he was born. Jesus seeing this. Now, our God sees, doesn't he? And what did he see? He saw all those evil hearts out there. Here's a man's blind as could be. He walks up, reaches down, picks up some dust, looks around at all the skeptics and all the slanderers and all the gossips and all the troublemakers, and he goes, he starts making this big old mud pie. And he takes his time. Gets a nice wad in there and picks up another hand of dust. Now he's got a nice big gobby mess here and he slices it in half. He says, come on over here. Come on over here. Blind man stumbles over and gets over there and goes. And here's this guy and these guys are laying on the ground. They're howling. They're laughing. They're just having a great big old time. Did you ever see anything so crazy in all your life? Oh, did you see that? They didn't see anything. Jesus wasn't concerned on what they saw or what he looked like. He says, I want you to go down to the pool and I want you to wash your eyes. And these guys were just busy. They were laughing. They were cutting up. And here's this guy stumbling with mud running down. It looked like he had mascara on. You know, it was running right down on his chest and down his cheeks and everything, you know. And he goes stumbling off towards the pool, you know, and he falls down in the pool and he splashes some water on his face and shakes his head. And Jesus says, well, now what do you see? Well, he says, men look like trees walking. They look like the same things I've been bumping into all the time. Oh, is that right? Well, have your sight. And you know what they said? You know what they saw out of that whole thing? Hey, now, what's the deal here? You're seeing. And they started to contend with this man. And he says, well, shucks. All I know is I was once blind and now I can see. See? Don't pay attention to what people see. Pay attention to what God sees. God's looking for dedicated folks, and God is looking for people that are dedicated to a cause. He isn't, you know, if you're not dedicated to a cause, man, you're going to flee and run off the track. Get off the track. Jump the track. How many are hearing this? All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. And all I know in my particular life that once I was blind. I was so blind that I'd go into every bar. I was so blind that I did all kinds of different things I shouldn't be doing. I was just blind. But I know one thing now. Now I see, and I'm so glad that God saw me before I could see. And now I know that God sees, and I don't care what people see, as long as my God saw me before and made me see what he saw and what he's seeing ahead for me. See? Isn't that what it's all about? God, let's get right with God and just recognize that God sees us. And don't get all balled up with our faults and everything and just run the race with your faults. You got them. It says run the rates. It didn't say if you have no faults. Okay, they get the megaphone out. All right, let's line the track up here. Everybody with no faults, everyone without sin over here, get your colors on, get your track shoes on. Everybody that's perfect, get over here. Over, hey, you over there. You're not perfect, get out. You guys, oh, here comes someone. Hey, beautiful bunch of legalists over here. Wow, great, great. Legalists, wow, the bowl haircuts give them away. Great, wonderful, huh? No, they come with long braids hanging down. They come with old matted beards with puke all over it. And they come with all kinds of sin hanging off them and everything. And God sees them as a finished work. He says, all I'm asking you to do is get in the race and run the race to win. And everybody's going to win if they just get in the race. You don't have to come out. You don't have to bust the tape. All you got to do is run the race. I don't care if you crawl across the finish line. I don't care if you get over there on crutches. I don't care if you make it in a wheelchair. I don't care if you're going over there in an iron lung. I don't care how you have to get in the race. I don't care. Don't be defeated no matter what your physical being is. Get in the race. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and run the race to win the race. And don't you listen to all these folks and say, hey, you don't have to be in that iron lung. If you had enough faith, you'd be out of it. You don't have to be in that wheelchair. If you have enough faith, you'd be out of that wheelchair. You don't have to this, you don't have that, because see, they don't see what God sees. All they see is what they want to see, and what they want to see. What I see, I get. No, you don't see what you get. You don't get it. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith, and there's a certain amount of suffering in this old world, but I'll tell you one thing. If you run the race, you're going to be happy. If you obey the Lord, you're going to be happy. You don't put your eyes and fix your attention on people because, man, they're so fickle and so changeable all the time. You don't never know what they're going to do. Say amen, somebody. You can't put your trust in people. You can't put your trust in yourself. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. He is the author, and he's the finisher of faith. I'm sure glad that other folks ain't the finisher of my faith, or I'd be finished right now tonight. I'd be laying on the floor dead. I talked on to a person on the telephone today. I said, my God, you've done everything you could to see this great ministry of faith go down here on the north side. I says, the only thing you haven't done is bring a gun in and shoot me in the head. And the next time I see you, I want to see you come down here with a gun loaded and shoot me, because that's the only way you're going to get rid of me. Say amen, somebody. I'm going to run the race, and all we're going to run the race. Say it. Did you hear that message? It's bold, but it's the truth. God sees. I'm so glad he sees tonight. Aren't you glad he sees? Aren't you? Now you can go to bed tonight and you can say, God sees. I know he watches over me. I know he's watching over me. I know tonight he's going to watch over me. And you just wrap up in them covers and, ooh, snuggly, buggly boo, right? Ooh, boy, God sees.